Our scripture reading this morning will come from the book of Psalms chapter 3, or Psalm 3, I should say, the next section in Samuel. Is fairly lengthy and really needs to be divided up into two sermons. And not wanting to preach one half now and the next half in 2 weeks, I've decided to preach Psalm 3, which is a psalm written during the time of our previous sermons in Samuel, as David is fleeing from his son, Absalom. Psalm 3. Let us pay careful attention to the public reading of God's holy, infallible, and inerrant word as we find it in Psalm 3. A psalm of David when he fled from his son Absalom. O Lord, how many are my foes? How many rise up against me? Many are saying of me, God will not deliver him. But you are a shield around me, O Lord. You bestow glory on me and lift up my head. To the Lord I cry aloud, and he answers me from his holy hill. I lie down and sleep. I wake again because the Lord sustains me. I will not fear the tens of thousands drawn up against me on every side. Arise, O Lord. Deliver me, O my God. Strike all my enemies on the jaw. Break the teeth of the wicked. From the Lord comes deliverance. May your blessing be on your people. Thus the reading of God's word as we find it this morning in Psalm chapter 3. The passage we have before us this morning, Psalm 3, is divided up into three parts. Each part begins with the Lord. O Lord, God's name. The first part is verses 1 and 2. It begins, O Lord, in my translation. The second part is verses 3 through 6. It begins, O Lord, but you, O Lord. The NIV puts O Lord at the end of the first line. All other translations place it correctly at the beginning of the first line of verse 3. But you, O Lord, are a shield around me. And the third section is verses 7 and 8. Arise, O Lord. That verse begins, verse 7. Three sections. Each section answers one another and develops a further theme concerning the message of this psalm. In the first section, David sets before us his situation. He begins, O Lord, how many are my foes? How many rise up against me? Notice the chiastic structure of this first verse. It begins with God, O Lord, O God is David's words. It ends this verse in the second line of that verse with David, me. God and David set apart in verse 1, and in between we have the mention of David's foes. O Lord, how many are my foes? How many, that's the foes, rise up against me? God at the beginning, David at the end, in between connected with God is the foes, in between connected with David is the many who rise up, his foes. The psalmist is setting before us a gap, a separation between God and David. Separating the Lord and David is his foes, the many that rise up against him. And what are the foes saying? Notice the connection in this first part of the psalm. The first line of verse 1, many are my foes. The second line of verse 1, many rise up against me. The first line of verse 2, many are saying of me, many, 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 showing the connection between verses 1 and 2. The foes are many. They are rising up, and the foes, what they are doing, they are saying things about David. What are they saying? God will not deliver him. There is a gap between God and David, so they say. And in between that gap, in between that separation, are David's foes who rise up, and they are saying that because of this gap between God and David, God will not deliver him. God will not deliver him from his foes. Now, the heading title of this psalm tells us in the introduction that when this psalm was written of David when he fled from his son Absalom. David is king of Israel. His son Absalom has plotted against him and is heading to Jerusalem to remove David from the throne and ultimately to put David to death so Absalom can be king. David has fled Jerusalem. He is on the road of humiliation in 2 Samuel 15. David leaves Jerusalem. He goes through the hot, dry Kidron Valley. He climbs up the Mount of Olives. And there are many foes who have risen up against him. Absalom has enough on his side that David knows he must flee. And those foes are saying of David, God will not deliver him. Absalom is saying, God will not deliver David from me, from my hands anymore. David is suffering the consequences of his sin. David in 2 Samuel 12 is told that because he has taken Bathsheba as his wife, that because he has put Uriah, her husband, to death, his faithful soldier, God will bring calamity upon his house. David experiences this calamity, and in this calamity, his foes have supposedly come between him and God. And they are saying it. Ahithophel, David's close advisor, whom David sees his advice as the advice of God, has joined the ranks of Absalom. Ahithophel, Bathsheba's grandfather, speaking against David in his calamity, God will not deliver him. Last week we saw Shimei in chapter 16 of 2 Samuel parading along David's road of humiliation, shouting that God will not deliver him, throwing stones, telling him that God is punishing him on behalf of the house of Saul. Many are saying it. Many are his foes. Many have risen up against him. Many are saying, God will not deliver him. David, because of your calamities, because of your sin, there is a gap between the Lord and you, and God will not close it. That is why you are on the run. That is why you walk that road of humiliation. But in the second part of our psalm, David answers that. But you, verse 3, but you, O God. The first section begins in verse 1, O Lord, O God. The second section begins verse 3, O Lord, O God. God is mentioned at the beginning, God is mentioned at the end, and sandwiched between these two parts of the psalm are David and his foes. The psalmist is telling us that God is in control of all of this. God is in control of David's foes. God is in control of David and his life. God is in control of this situation, and they are sandwiched between the Lord. And in verse 3, David professes God's sovereignty in all of this. But you, O God, are a shield around me. What does that mean? A shield. Some commentators have sought to translate the word a different way than shield. But you, O God, as long as I live, are around me. But you, O God, in my lifetime, are around me. The image of the shield is the image of God's protection. The image of the shield is David's confidence that God is with him through every aspect of his life. That there is no gap or separation between David and God. That the foes that have come against him are not coming against him apart from God's plan and God's purposes for David and his life. And David goes on in verse 3 to state that it is God who bestows glory upon him. He's not out for his own glory. You bestow glory on me and lift up my head. David's head is low. In 2 Samuel chapter 15, the king of Israel is forced to flee his capital, his palace in Jerusalem. The king of Israel is forced to walk through outside of Jerusalem, the hot, dry Kidron Valley. The king of Israel is walking barefoot, 2 Samuel 15, up the Mount of Olives, and his head is covered in shame. David's head is low. And his hope of lifting up his head is not in his own strength. It's in God who lifts up his head. In the rest of the second part of the psalm, David continues to close this gap between God and himself. He uses the first person pronoun, I, 4 times. To the Lord I cry aloud, verse 4. I lie down and sleep, verse 5. I wake again, second part of verse 5. I will not fear, verse 6. I, because of God. Verse 4. To the Lord I cry aloud, and he answers from his holy hill. What is the holy hill? The holy hill is the place of the tabernacle. As David walked this road of humiliation, as he was leaving Jerusalem, Zadok the priest was there with the Ark of the Covenant, making sacrifices. Zadok the priest wanted to take the Ark of God along with David up the Mount of Olives as he was fleeing from Jerusalem, and David sent Zadok and the Ark of God back to Jerusalem. When Absalom arrives, he does not know what Zadok has done. But no doubt the many who have risen up are saying of David, do you see that? The Ark of God has stayed in Jerusalem apart from God's king. The Ark of God is separated from the king of Israel. There is a gap. The foes stand in between. David cannot approach the holy hill because Absalom, his foe, is sitting in Jerusalem, because the armies of Absalom stand between him and God. God will not deliver him, so they are saying. But what does David say in verse 4? To the Lord I cry aloud, and he answers me from his holy hill. It doesn't matter where the ark is. It doesn't matter that David has fled Jerusalem away from the ark. When he cries out to God, God answers him even from that place. There is no gap between him and God. As David has fled Jerusalem, as David finds himself out in the desert on the other side of the Mount of Olives, what does he say in verses 5 and 6? I lie down and sleep. I wake again because the Lord sustains me. The Lord is sustaining him wherever he is. He can lie down and sleep in peace. He can know that he wakes up in peace because the Lord is sustaining him. Verse 6, I will not fear the tens of thousands drawn up against me on every side. And there are tens of thousands on every side. But David does not fear, because God is in control of this situation. God is in control of his life and what has taken place. And the Lord is with him and answers him even from his holy hill. So in the third part of this psalm, David brings together all of the parties involved. In verse 7, he begins, Rise up, O Lord. There's that word again. O Lord begins verse 1. O Lord begins verse 3. O Lord begins verse 7. But who was it who has risen up? Look at the second part of verse 1. How many have risen up against me? O Lord, rise up. They have risen up against me. David calls for God to rise up. David knows that his foes, his enemies, have no chance against the Lord. For the Lord is sovereign. The Lord is in control. If the Lord rises up, they will go down. Deliver me, O God. The word deliver is used in the second half of verse 2. Some of your translations have it in the second half of verse 2, help me, the Lord will not help him. But the Hebrew word is the same. Deliver me. What are they saying of David? God will not deliver him. Verse 2. Deliver me, O my God. David calls upon the first party, God, to rise up against those, his foes who have risen up. David calls upon God to deliver him because his foes are saying that God will not deliver him. And what about his foes? Strike all my enemies on the jaw, or the cheek, some of your translations have. Break the teeth of the wicked. Verse 7 tells us that the foes are enemies, that the foes are wicked. And what are the foes doing? What are they doing that is causing David so much pain, so much difficulty? Verse 2, they are saying. They are speaking with their mouths. And David tells us in this psalm, he calls God out to say, strike all my enemies on the jaw, break the teeth of the wicked. In 2 Samuel chapter 15, as David is heading up the mountain, as David is fleeing, there is one prayer, one short, one line of a prayer recorded in verse 31. So David prayed, O Lord, turn Ahithophel's counsel into foolishness. Ahithophel's counsel at the end of verse 16, or chapter 16, we're told, is like regarded to David like the counsel of God. This battle will be won or lost based on words. David is praying that Ahithophel's counsel will become foolishness. God uses Hushai, David's faithful friend, to go and to give different advice than the advice of Ahithophel. David is calling upon God to strike the enemies, to strike what is being said, that they would be stricken on the cheek, that their teeth would be broken, that the advice of Ahithophel would be foolish, that Absalom would follow the wrong words, that God would deliver his king, King David. That is David's prayer. As David concludes this third section, he states in verse 8, "From the Lord comes deliverance." That's the third time we find that word, deliverance, the Hebrew word. At the end of verse 2, God will not deliver him. David calls for God in verse 7 to deliver him. But where does it come from? Does it come from the hands of David? No. From the Lord comes deliverance. May your blessing be on your people. Don't forget that last phrase, that last line. David doesn't conclude, "From the Lord comes deliverance. May your blessing be upon me." Three parties have been mentioned in this psalm: the Lord, the foes, and David. David answers them in verse 7, "Arise, O Lord, deliver me, O my God, strike all my enemies on the jaw, break the teeth of the wicked." And in verse 8, he adds a fourth: the people. Why? Why introduce a fourth party at the conclusion of the psalm, the last line of the psalm? Why not just stick with what you have already said and laid out? Because when the Lord delivers his king, the blessings come upon the people. If Absalom is king, there will be no blessings from the Lord on Israel. When David is delivered from this calamity, the blessing will be for the people. We have said in 2 Samuel 15, as David is on his road of humiliation, the connection is made between 2 Samuel 15 and the geography there, and the geography in John chapter 18 concerning the footsteps of our Savior Jesus Christ. David's footsteps foreshadow the footsteps of God's greater King, the Son of David, Jesus Christ. And not only is the connection to be made in the footsteps, in the geography of 2 Samuel 15, but the connection is made in the words of David, which foreshadow the words of our Savior in Psalm 3. As the Son of David left Jerusalem and went through the Kidron Valley and climbed up the Mount of Olives, how many were his foes? How many rose up against him and shouted, "Crucify him, crucify him"? How many were saying as they saw him suffering? How many who saw him being beaten and flogged were saying, "God will not deliver him"? How many who walked by as he hung on that cross mocked him and said, "If you are the Son of God, come down from that cross"? But it was all God's plan. The foes who rose up did nothing outside the sovereignty of God. God was there at the beginning of the events. God was there at the end. God's sovereignty was present as he hung on the cross and he died. And God glorified him. As he rose from that grave, God lifted up his head. As he hung on that cross and he cried aloud, God answered. And his answer was that he die. One separation between this psalm and the life of our Savior is that David could lie down and sleep, that David could wake again because he knew he was in the Lord's hands. As Jesus hung on that cross, the only thing that was before him was death, so that David could have life, so that you could have life. Because when God delivered his king, God delivered his people. And when God glorified him on that resurrection day, when God lifted up his head from death, his enemies were silenced. No longer could Satan take him outside in the wilderness and try to tempt him into sin and disobedience to God and trick him in the words of the law. No longer could the Pharisees accuse him of breaking God's law and traditions. No longer could any charge be brought against him, for he is glorified. He is seated in the holy hill of heaven as God has lifted him up on high. And his enemies, his foes who say God will not deliver him, are silenced. The words of David in this psalm are your words. How many have said of you, as you go through difficulties, as you face struggles with sin, God will not deliver you. But God's sovereignty is with you through all things. God is at the beginning. God is at the end. As people see what you face and go through, you might hear them say to you, look, they're a Christian. They believe God is with them. But if God was with them, they wouldn't be dealing with all of these things. Their life would be going much better than it is now. God isn't really with them. There's a gap between God and you. But God sustains you in every event in his sovereignty in your life. He's there at the beginning. He's there at the end. He is your shield all of your life. He has bestowed glory on you in the resurrection of his Son. He has lifted up your head from sin and from death. When you cry out, he answered with the sending of his Son who died on that cross. That was his answer from his holy hill. And because he has answered, you can lie down and sleep in peace. You can know that you wake in the precious arms of your Savior Jesus Christ, whether you face life or death. That those drawn up on every side who are saying, God will not deliver him, have been silenced. Paul tells us in Romans chapter 8, who shall bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? In verse 31 of Romans chapter 8, it is God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? Christ Jesus, who died more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of God? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. Knowing all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither present or the future, neither any powers or height or depth or anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. By the power of his resurrection, who has bestowed the glory of that on you, by the power of his resurrection, which has lifted up your head from sin and from death, no charge can be brought, no separation can be made, no gap between God and his people. For his king has been delivered, and the blessing is on his people. And the many who say of you that God is not with you, that God doesn't love you, are silenced through his resurrection, which is his answer, and God's silence for all. Amen. Father in heaven, we thank you, O God, for these words from Psalm 3 and how the psalm articulates for us not only David's thoughts, not only the salvation that was given to David, but the salvation that came to us through our Savior Jesus Christ. We are thankful for your sovereignty, for your plan, for the answer from your holy hill to our cry for deliverance from sin and death. That, Lord, you have answered it through your Son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross. And may you, O God, remind us that you have delivered us from our foes, from our accusers, from those who say of us by what we go through, that you are not with us. By the power of his resurrection from the dead. Oh God, you have glorified us in Jesus Christ. You have lifted up our head. May we always find your deliverance through your Son, through your King, for which the blessing comes to his people. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.